Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are talking EB Expo. My good co-host here, Tom and Bardia, were with me for most of today.
That's true.
Collectively.
I'm not a good co-host.
No, but I was being polite, Tom.
Naughty co-host.
We're going to be talking about the sights, the sounds, the smells, games.
Oh, that sweat.
Oh, that's that, the smell of sweat and the sound of the Ubisoft Just Dance booth all day. All day. Look, we'll be talking about, you know, the pros and cons, of EB Expo. Pretty much the whole show. So that's all coming up on Big Head Mode. That's right, this is Big Head Mode, 2RRR's weekly gaming show, and we are here, guys, to talk right at you about some games.
Straight into your faces.
Straight into your faces, although, since this is an audio medium, straight into your ears.
Is that on your face?
That's a side attack. It's a flank, buddy. It's like the raptors in Jurassic Park. You think we're coming from the front, and then you turn, and you go, clever girl. There we are, right in your ears.
Are you proud? Are you proud of yourself?
I'm so proud.
Dropping them pop references.
I'm full of energy, guys, because after a day of not having much energy, because like all conventions, I mean, it can be a bit of a drain. There's a lot of queues, there's a lot of walking, there's a lot of
standing.
Oh,
you got to talk
worst.
To people.
And everyone's so energetic, it's draining.
Everyone's what?
So energetic, it's so draining.
Listen to us.
Oh, we're so old.
It was so hard to be at the
No one's really energetic at those expos, except the people at the Just Dance booth.
Oh, they love them.
Which is apparent, which I think it's in the contract that booth has to be visible and audible from all corners of the convention.
Yep, and they play the same song on repeat. I think this year's was Uptown Funk. I don't think I didn't hear that song coming out of that booth at any point of the day.
No. In fact, I put a call out on Twitter before saying, just asking what people's best and worst convention experiences were. And this is from Rebecca Fernandez, from who is a... she's been on the show before, friend of the show.
Oh, hello, friend.
Who says, listening to Gangnam Style on repeat for 3 days straight at EB Expo 3 years ago. And on one hand, it's like, oh, that's tragic, but it hasn't changed. I mean, it's pretty much like anywhere you're in the expo, you're going to be exposed to whatever the song of the year is.
Yeah.
From Just Dance. But look, there's a lot more than Just Dance.
Buddy, that you're really you. Struggling today,
aren't
you?
I'm sorry. You're right.
Perk up. Smiley faces on.
Get the stim packs out.
I'm fine. Guys, it's going to be fine. Hey, guys, hey, everyone. Have a really great show.
Can I charge up my teleport?
Traditionally, we say that before the show starts.
What do you mean?
Oh. but look, no, it was a pretty big con. EB has grown bigger and bigger every year,
and not necessarily better.
No, not necessarily better. No.
Unless you like more merchandise stands.
But size is all that matters.
In fact, out of curiosity, I was digging through when I was putting all the no, Tom. Well, that depends. You tell me. I was digging through the files of our previous EB shows, and I found this bizarrely named clip, and I have to bring it to play it, because this to me is the sound of EB Expo every time. All right, epic booming noise. That thing. Ooh, what is this? Is this a classy event? No, dubstep and cash. This was my experience for the day.
Wow, great.
Every corner was just like
really good,
like
stuff.
A lottery.
Oh,
hey, this has got your attention now. Give us your money. ASAP.
They love money, don't they? They just love milking people.
These corporations.
Milking people. Is that what you said? Yeah.
People milk.
It's a dairy farm. Human dairiness.
Give us your money, aka people milk.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
I'm just picturing like someone standing there looking at a huge wall of pre-orders and just sort of thoughtfully rubbing their chin, going and unbeknownst to them, like two EB employees come up
with these
sort of milk suction things and just start strapping it to them and be like, excellent, give us the people milk. It was very much like that. I mean, it wasn't quite as bad as last year. There were like pre-order booths. staggered specifically throughout the thing.
Yeah, they had like EP and, shops.
And that was less visible this year, which I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, it means they're just better at hiding it.
Yeah, it was weird. The layout of the EB Expo is always very bizarre to me because, sorry, it's got like, you've got all your major big booths, and then as you say, you've got like the shops selling merchandise. And,
yeah.
But the merchandise, for the most part, is it's just an EB store within the... I don't know, it just seems...
EB Mega
Store. Thankfully, that wasn't so visible this year.
No, it didn't feel as... that stuff didn't feel as shameless.
You know, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't visible at EB Expo this year. And I know we'll probably talk about it in a sec later on, but the lack of indie support.
That was a huge disappointment.
This is, yeah, I mean, this is a topic unto itself. Can I start going on it? Because I was really disappointed. I mean, last year...
hang on, stop. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Sorry, you asked. I thought...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I asked.
The record show, you were given permission. By me, the host of the show.
In name.
Oh,
only.
Tom. Yeah, you can. It's okay.
Let the record show, Barty also gave permission. Tom,
actually,
go ahead.
Can we write that down? Hey, guys, I think we've run out of time now.
No, Jimmy, can you just record that? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Tom, you may go.
All right. Have we checked with the lawyers?
Don't worry, they'll be fine.
All right,
Come on, Tom. God, he's such a stickler for the rules, Tom.
I know.
Last year,
we only had 12 or so indie games exhibiting, which was less than the year before. This year, we had a total number of 4 indie games.
Wow.
It wasn't even a section of indie games. It was just this sort of corner.
Yeah, tucked away in the far back left-hand corner. Like, you know, no one was going
to...
Just for point of reference, there were more indie developers there this year than there were people in the line to play Quantum Break.
It's true. No one was at...
I got an amazing photo of an empty line. But yeah.
So you've got a photo of what?
Like, just a sign saying queue here for Quantum Break and no one there.
Is a photo of an empty line still a line? Like, is it, if, you know...
It's an empty line. Look, shut up.
Isn't it just space? Empty space?
It's interesting you point that out, Tom, because I remember we talked specifically last year about... the indie developers we spoke to that were there saying how much trouble they'd had at actually organizing, like, you know, they'd been told, like, just almost absolute last minute the details of actually setting up. They were given very little tech support by EB people, and
usually didn't have enough desk space.
No, like tiny little tables which weren't enough for all their controllers and their laptops and stuff, and then sort of shunted into the corner.
And
this year, in the same corner, but they couldn't possibly be further away from everything and anything.
Yeah.
Including, which always just sickens me, behind the army, like the Defense Force.
Army recruiting.
Recruiting station, which was bigger and looked way sexier than... It's like, you're trying to celebrate games. Yeah.
Do you like video games? You love the army.
Yeah, which is so ridiculous. I mean, I like video games because I like sitting on a couch and doing nothing. I don't want to get up at 6 and be yelled at.
Tom, you could be operating drones, and mate.
But you are incredibly lazy,
that's the worst idea in the world. Me behind a drone, it doesn't work, as proved by when I played The Division, which we'll get to later.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, unfortunately, or fortunately, despite there only being 4 indie games, there was one that I found really interesting.
Okay.
That's a good story,
wrote down its name, of course, but I don't have it right with me.
I remember two of them. Mori. Yeah, Mori. the clock sort of puzzle game.
I had no idea what was going on. I tried. You said check that out, and I was like, okay, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's your life most of the time. But
you guys, you've got the zingers coming thick and fast tonight. I'll tell you what.
So Mori is just a game where you wind up a clock. It's got 2 buttons, and you just try to go as far to the right as possible, you know, around this circle. And the more laps you do, the busier it becomes, but you're just kind of dodging these incoming circles. And it's this incredibly well-executed, beautiful little indie game available on iOS and Android.
It's got like
just released today.
It's got like a hexagon sort of vibe. You ever play hexagon? You rotate the hexagon and you got to get the ball out of the...
Really? Because I thought, like, I have no idea what hexagon is. Mm. And I was like, this is the most original idea I've seen.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, if it's just a rip-off, then it's a well-done rip-off.
Oh, no, I'm sure it's not.
It looked, it was eye-catching, striking, and it looked quite addictive.
I found it really difficult to pull myself away.
I love those easy-to-play, difficult-to-master sort of iPhone games as well. I think
that's how they get you. They lure you in with fun, addictive sort of stuff, and then you get harder and harder, and you get to that level where you're like...
Sorry, you get...
The games, buddy, get harder and harder.
Okay, not what you said, though, so.
And you enjoy it, and as a result, things happen. There was another game, Tom, that you were playing, too, and do you remember the name of that game?
I don't.
I half remember it, but I'm going to get it wrong. Was it Infraction?
You've got to be kidding me. You played it for 30 minutes, Thomas.
I did not.
Don't love me in, buddy. I was there just as long as you did, and at least I had a stab at guessing the name of the game. But it was a great game. It was a puzzle game where you were...
Projection?
No.
What are you talking about? You're just making words up now, aren't you?
Where you manipulate shadows. And it's like, as you move the shadows around, they can kind of form platforms. And it was cool. I mean, I know you traditionally, Tom, aren't
hate
the biggest platformer
hate
fan,
platformers.
But you were kind of hooked into... I could see you hooking into the logic of that puzzle manipulation.
Yeah, I mean, if we try to describe it on air, it just won't do it justice.
Yeah. I mean, as is the case, I find with a lot of indie games, the best you can do is just mention the name and let people check it out themselves.
It's literally the least you can do.
Look, guys,
it's the minimum amount of work.
It's been a long day, all right?
It has. Tom remembers the names of all those other great games you played. Halo,
the Master Chief Collection, The other ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, why don't we go to a song, give Tom a chance to try and find the names, and then we'll talk about some... I've got a little bit of news before we get into the rest of the EB Expo stuff.
I can't bloody wait.
No, you bloody can't. This is Light Up the Night by the Proto Man. We'll be back after this. Bring Back the Night. That was Light Up the Night by the... Proto Man.
Yep. I thought you were going to forget. Sorry, I jumped
No. You know what? Points for initiative.
We have no faith in you, Ben.
zero faith.
No. I mean, you'll never hear me judge you for the lack of faith. hey, look, before we get into all that expo bitness, there's some great news stories to talk about.
I can't wait.
Can I lay them on you?
Yeah.
All right.
This is
amazing, and I can't believe it hasn't gotten more coverage, really.
Okay.
Call of Duty Twitter stunt fakes a war and upsets everyone.
You told me about this today, and you haven't explained it.
This is incredible.
That sounds like
So, the Call of Duty Twitter feed, their Twitter account, which has 2.8 million followers, earlier this week, someone, I'm guessing an Activision or whatever, changed the name of the Twitter account to say Current Events Aggregate, to make it sound kind of like it's this weird news thing that's going to show up on someone. And they started tweeting alerts. The first one said, breaking news. Unconfirmed reports are coming in of an explosion on the north bank of the Singapore Marina. After that update, Singapore authorities have officially announced a state of emergency and declared martial law. And they went on and described shots of things of shots being fired at civilians, a convoy of military trucks with people in hazmat suits, the establishment of a quarantine zone.
Did they make it look like a different Twitter? Like.
Yes.
Apart from changing the name, they all... That sounds...
Well, change the name. I mean, that's the whole identity.
The handle's still the same, though. Yeah.
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 Well, yeah, I guess so. The handle's the same, but the name that shows up on the thing.
I mean, if you're just glancing at it...
But if you have 2.8 million Twitter followers, I mean, the odds of a number of people being misled, quite high.
Yeah.
And they did this for 2 hours before correcting what it actually was, and then said... Then they just tweeted... They changed the name back and then tweeted, this was a glimpse into the future fiction of hashtag Black Ops 3.
Oh.
You know what offends me most about that?
I mean,
people got a little bit offended or upset that there might have actually been this thing going on. All right, okay. that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that Call of Duty is trying to sell its story.
No. Yeah.
Nobody cares about Call of Duty's story.
Tom. No, didn't you hear there's a quarantine zone or so? Shots fired.
Sorry.
Something like that.
When you said Call of Duty, I just zoned out.
I mean, I don't know about Call of Duty, but this news event aggregate website, I mean, this game sounds exciting. I play that game. Maybe Call of Duty's old and everyone wants to play Current Events Aggregate.
Oh, man, it's so stupid. That's stupid. You're stupid.
It was so dumb. And people weren't happy, and I haven't seen any official apology yet. So, I mean, what
the
hell?
An apology. We here at Big Head Mode demand an apology.
I just think traditionally in this day and age, like faking terror attacks online, probably not a good idea.
Wise. Yeah, usually not wise.
No.
And, well, how is that promoting Call of Duty in any way, apart from just stirring shit?
Now, it is nowhere near as cool as this story, all right? Now, this is when developers just win the internet for me, all right? So, like, a few days ago, there was a a guy who was an electrical engineer who has been playing Dying Light. And he got drunk and he was playing the game and he noticed a problem in the game, which then turned into an angry Twitter rant that he put on for about 30 minutes, right? And his problem was that he points out that there's no way any power grids would be working in that game. Like, this is a zombie apocalypse, and the city power system makes no sense. Like, who is manning this power? And he went on this huge rant and pointed out all of this stuff. He's like, where's the power coming from? It can't be generated from anywhere. There's no dams. There's no natural gas, no coal, no nuclear, nothing.
He's furious. He's furious.
Yeah, he was so detailed that he was like... And he even, like, tried to come up with reasons. He was like, look, maybe they'll get into it later in the game, but they probably won't. If I had to guess, that big substation that, for some reason, is still generating power to make electric zombies.
Oh, my God.
But that's not how substations work. He goes through all this stuff, and it got retweeted. I mean, Techland obviously noticed it, but it got retweeted a bunch and got a lot of attention. Kotaku picked up on it. And Techland responded. Got back, and they said this email, said, look, okay, the cat's out of the bag. Yes, it's true. Our electrical systems break conventional design. When you're stuck in a zombie outbreak, you're going to have to adapt and therefore bypass certain rules. So the people of Haran had to apply a really resourceful design which required the existing infrastructure to be tweaked. Then they posted a video. All right.
What?
Yeah, they went through and posted a video, which obviously this is a radio you can't see, but I'll describe it to you. They showed a gameplay video of an old sort of warehouse, and then the camera pans across, and you see zombies on treadmills.
No
on, like, hamster wheels. Yeah.
Powering the city.
Fantastic.
How amazing is
that's
that?
Hilarious.
As far as developer responses go, that was classic.
That's brilliant. Good on them.
See, I like that a lot.
Why can't Activision do something similar?
They're too busy milking me for my man milk. My pizza.
That's what they want, buddy. No, they want your man milk.
Human milk.
Human milk.
Yeah, I mean, look, man milk is obviously that one step too far.
Sorry.
we do condone equality on Big Head Mode, though. Yeah, so, milk. All milk.
Just milk.
The all milk. All praise the all milk.
Let's move on from the milk.
Dairy milk.
We're really milking this joke, aren't we?
Oh, here we go. And look, in other news, developer stuff ups. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about Square Enix had that awful pre-order program for Deus Ex?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't on for that.
You were, Tom. You were. That really adamant. That podcast went up this day. He was so sure. Square Enix had that pre-order program where you had the community tiered thing, and it was like when a certain number of people...
Yeah.
Not anymore. Right. They've cancelled it. Enough people raged. They went, look, we recognise that this is bad, and we're all about pleasing you, the consumers.
Is it bad that they caved so quick?
Just bad that they started it.
I think caving it is good, because then
it's good.
It leaves more time for them to... from a PR point of view,
yeah,
for people to forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep it going... for ages, then it just becomes a joke constantly.
It was such a dumb idea.
Yeah. I mean, no one's going to remember that by the time this game comes out, which is until...
Dude,
fair.
Never forget.
I didn't remember it today.
No.
So there you go. Square Enix, is forgiven.
That's true. Who's Square Enix? Don't know.
Didn't they do Dying Light?
No. They did Current Events Aggregate. Mind that little piece of work.
Current events aggregate. So stupid.
And look, finally, this is a couple days old. It's a podcast that you're listening to even longer. But hey, it's too great not to mention. Mass Effect is getting its own theme park ride. Yep, go on, buddy.
Are you
with your first
instinct.
We don't condone self censorship here in Big Head Mode,
or any kind of fucking censorship.
No.
Okay. Although that said. Don't do that. This is radio. Go on, buddy. What's your first instinct?
I mean, I don't... Where
are you going to be on the Normandy?
It seems like it is going to be one of those... You know those old... not old school, but those like 3D or 4D adventure things?
Like every ride at Universal.
It's like, oh, you're on the screen. Oh, wow, it's so immersive. And like, oh, look, here's Joker talking to me. It'll be that kind of thing.
It'll be cool, I guess.
Are you able to sleep with your crew?
Maybe.
It's not Mass Effect.
What if you just start hitting on the people in the ride next to you?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose they could still turn you down.
Tom, how are you not in prison?
Just wait till he's gone on this ride, buddy.
Yeah.
Security.
Get him out.
Get off me, Cerberus scum. You're with the Reapers.
Only place that you could make that joke.
Oh, amazing.
Is it, Tom? Is that a challenge? Because I'll make Mass Effect jokes anywhere I damn well please.
Where is this ride being installed?
Easter show.
Luna Park,
no.
Sydney.
No, this is at California's Great America, which is apparently
a theme park. Big claim.
California's Great America.
Mm, there you go. Never heard of it.
Same guy actually came up with a name for current events.
That's what it says on this Kotaku link, and they've hyperlinked California's Great America. Out of curiosity, I thought, what is that theme park? Click on it.
Just a
Wikipedia link for California.
Yeah, it's just
good work, Kotaku.
Thanks.
I could have pieced that much together.
Yeah.
Oh, look,
yeah.
Here's California on a map.
But here you are criticizing Kotaku. You hadn't researched this well.
And now you know.
Story.
That wasn't the salient detail to me. The salient detail is that there's a ride based on Mass Effect.
You've already said salient too many times. You've said it twice and there's too many.
Have I? Keeping count of the word salient? I'm sorry.
You're the bloody
do you want me to dumb my words down for you? The key? Most important?
Not my point.
No? All right, look, let's move
on.
Let's move on. We'll play some more tracks, come back, talk about EB Expo. Just don't forget, you do got to catch them all. You got to catch them all. Here we go. Welcome back. That was Got to Catch Them All Before by Power Glove, and now let's talk EB Expo.
Amazing. It's not going to ever get old.
That's my favorite.
I love it.
It is the sound of EB Expo. Tom, I want to get one thing out of the way.
That's you. Yeah.
First and foremost,
your Tom.
You played a game that Bido and I did not get a chance to play today. That was a little thing I like to call Star Wars Battlefront. Now,
no.
let us down easy, Tom. We've been worried about this game. Whether it was just going to be like Battlefield with Star Wars, a lot of franchise love.
Well, you guys are not going to like this because you missed out on what turned out to be, for my money, the game of the show.
Big claim. Bold.
Ooh.
That's a bold claim.
Yeah, now, when you say your money, do you mean this money? Oh, big claim. Game of the show. I'm just gonna play this music for the next 10 minutes, guys.
I don't put you in
charge. Me. It's the power that
it's
I will.
The best.
Why would this be game of the show? I mean, you also played Halo and Division and other stuff.
Yeah.
What made this game
stand
out?
We'll talk about them in a minute. But, I mean, as you said before, we've been expecting Battlefield meets Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a little bit of Battlefield in there and a little bit of Star Wars, but it's just its own new beast, and it's fantastic.
It's really exciting.
Yes, you start with laser guns, and
pew 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 pew.
Yeah. Well, pretty much, and
there's no
reloading. It's like sort of
Tom, have you ever tried to? I mean, most laser guns use a battery rather than a cartridge, so why would you reload
Empire it? E11 carbine rifles are notoriously difficult to reload.
Reload a battery powered laser
guy.
Gun.
This guy.
Who is he?
Oh,
who even is he?
I'm Tom. I don't know how to reload my loser.
It's like he's never been to the future before.
Mate, yeah.
So you've moved beyond the laser
maybe,
gun.
Maybe if you guys actually invite me in a time machine. Okay. So ammo is boom. It's gone.
Great.
See you later. So instead we've got...
Is there a cooldown sort of
Yes,
system?
There is. You know, you sort of shoot for a while and it overheats. And one of the problems is that the magazine capacities, I tried out all the different weapons they had available. Magazine capacities seem really small. And
that's not bad. It means you always have to be changing and adapting.
Yeah. But there were a few times that I'd sort of flanked around the enemy team and gotten the jump on a couple of guys, and you've got enough ammo to kill one. And by the time you've done that, then they've turned around and you're dead.
Interesting. Did you play the other two, back in the day?
Yeah, I did.
And
a little bit.
Does it hold up in any way?
I didn't play
it
enough to even have any idea.
Fair enough.
Of comparison. I've got this really rosy memory of this wonderful game back then, but it's probably completely different.
How was the... So you played the... was it the Hoth demo that they...
Yes.
How were the snow speeders? I'm geeking out over this.
You really are. It's great.
What are snow speeders?
The ones that bring down the AT-ATs.
With the cables.
Okay,
the,
right. So I was on the Alliance side.
Oh.
So I got some nice little walkers, and I got a TIE fighter that I...
You mean the Empire.
Yeah, yeah, well, right, same diff, right? Yeah. Cool.
I don't know, Tom. Let's put to our Star Wars fans. Same difference.
Is it? Is it?
I mean, doesn't know laser guns. Can't tell the difference between the Empire and the Rebel Alliance.
This
is such a great nerd show, you guys. I'm just having a lot of fun. Rebel Keep scum. Talking.
I got to play a TIE fighter. A TIE fighter.
Oh yeah.
Now they seem like from a lot of the gameplay videos, they seem to have an insane turning speed. Like they can in the movies, I guess.
Okay,
but
so
one of the
really cool differences between Battlefield and Battlefront is that Battlefield, you ever play that? You get in the jets and you're chasing someone's chasing you, and you just start flying around in circles.
Huge turning circle sort of.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the cool things about this is you can decide to put all of your, you know, you've got a little bar, a meter. And you can change where your energy goes, either to your engines or your guns. And so you can really speed up and get away from people or
slide it
all the way over to the right and just explode the hell out of anything on the ground. It's fantastic. I, however, didn't really get to experience this because I crashed my TIE fighter straight away.
Brilliant.
So,
but
is that a testament to your skill or the controlling... scheme of the aircrafts?
I remember it took me about 2 full days to figure out how to fly a jet in Battlefield. So,
so it's similar to the jets, or would
I
you
think
say?
I think it's. I mean,
so I was really hoping. I guess they're a little bit more accessible.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, the Star Wars sort of battles, you have you want to have a lot more maneuverability, or you want to feel more capable. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to that because obviously I didn't. Fly around this thing long enough to gauge, but
2 months
you know,
from now we'll be playing the game and go. Tom was awful. This is so easy.
I'm so jazzed.
You use one stick.
I'm so excited.
Tom, maybe just stick to the AT-AT, buddy. It's slow, cumbersome, land-moving vehicle.
But one of the interesting things is that there are, and I don't know if this has probably been revealed in trailers. I haven't been paying attention, but there are all these pickups around the map, usually around sort of the edges. Which you know will give you power ups or those are the
like
where the
heavy weapons
spawns.
And stuff like rocket launchers.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
And so instead of you know having to suicide and then respawn back into a vehicle, which is really annoying, you can just go and pick them up or pick up these tokens and hop straight into them.
Is there still like a class system that you notice? You know how when you know how you used to have like on. The Empire used there was like the Dark Trooper, and then there was the Rocket Trooper, and all. Is it? Did you get to see any of that? Like choosing between.
I mean, they only had 2 loadouts available. Oh. One had this really cool jetpack, which
jetpack rule, Tom.
Jetpacks do rule, and the other one, which I didn't try out, had a shield. Shields look boring. No,
shields are boring.
I found a jetpack. I loved it.
Great.
What like a shield you hold?
No,
Captain America
like,
style.
I think it was a personal. I mean, I can't answer these questions. I didn't play it. Shields are boring. Shields are boring.
He's right. Shields suck. But sometimes in games you can throw shields at people and hit them in the face, and then shields aren't boring, are they, guys?
Ben,
are they?
We're not all Captain America.
Shields are boring.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. You're right. Yeah. Shields are pretty boring.
Two versus one.
What about shield maidons in the Viking days? No, I'm sorry. Shields are boring. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And you're lame for liking them.
So let's. I want to talk Division. As well before we get away from the time. That was a weird sentence. The thing I wanted to know about is this hero system. You know, did you get to experience that at all? Did that pop up in your game?
If there were heroes in my game, I didn't notice them. Okay. I don't believe there were.
That's good. That gives me hope then, because you don't want it to be
I've got a new hope
that...
first.
Oh, God. Come on, buddy.
Mate. Oh, God. can we just return to the Jedi?
Yeah. That was a worry. But it was,
yeah, it was a bit of a stretch.
It was a worry I had, though, that it would be like, you know, they make a big deal about these epic hero battles and it would be something that happens every 10 minutes. Vader's back.
Yeah, I think the way they bring in that upgrade system has been really well integrated into the game, so I'm much less concerned about it than I was.
Oh, great.
I'm jazzed.
Yeah, me too. Well, let's crack into the Division. All right, you got to play with a little fire team of 3.
I did. We were in the Dark Zone.
Which yeah, Dark Zone is like a raid or a sort of dungeon.
I'd say it's more like their PvP area.
Okay.
And it was this really smooth transition. We started off in single player world, and we just jumped over a fence and got into the Dark Zone. So one of the cool things about the Dark Zone is it's, you know, they justify it by saying that it's been shut down and it was where all the contaminated guys were initially sent, and so it's really poisonous or blah, blah, blah. Anyway, all the army was in there as well, so there's some sweet loot, but it's all contaminated. So you got to pick it up and then evacuate it before you can use it. Mm. And that doesn't mean you eat it and pass it. That means you got to wait for you got to shoot off a flare, which alerts everybody around you.
That's
that
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then hang out for a minute and a half before a helicopter comes and picks it up. So what? One of the problems was this was a really small demo, and there were three teams of three, and we were all set in this tiny little area. And I thought, okay, you know, like, come on, team, let's... I see another fire team, let's go. Let's go shoot them. And, of course, the other fire team had the exact same idea, as did the third one. So, very quickly, we were in the middle of these two. It was terrible. Mistakes were made. And
one never changes.
All I really experienced from it was just this multiplayer shooter, which is not what The Division... is, I don't believe.
I mean, yeah, like, because the biggest selling point of The Division, if you haven't heard of it, you should, it looks great. This is Ubisoft's...
Open world RPG.
Yeah, Ubisoft's open world RPG MMO, or MMO Lite. Oh, like a multiplayer...
Shooter.
Shooting these days is like the... it's like the mode, rather than the overall piece, you know? Like, the stuff that they've been required on this game is just how deep are the RPG mechanics. How deep is the role playing? I mean, they like to Ubisoft, particularly in their demos, really like to paint the drama, and then they're very light on the details of how much of that drama is a mechanic of the game
and how much, is scripted
developers making it look more fun than it is.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff I really want to see. Like, do you have a home base? Like, what can you do in your home base? Do you manage your squad or your little sort of settlement? Do you feel this sense of like community with your survivors, all that kind of stuff?
No.
And you didn't get a taste of any of that side of the game?
Of the things that I did get, you know, we've been hearing about The Division for a couple of years, and one of the things that's been criticized, if you've watched the trailers at E3 and such, there's this sort of ridiculous chat that happens between the players.
Yeah,
and I found myself really falling into that very quickly. You know, talking to my teammates, like, oh, hey, you know, guys, like, at 3 o'clock, we've got some enemies approaching, and it really builds that team sense. It's a cover-based shooter, so you are dead in the open.
Yeah.
And revive system, so you need your friends and teammates there, as well as some really interesting skills that complement each other well. So I think the team-based aspect of it is fantastic. So I'm overall the game that I played is not the game that they've been selling me. So I hope that if the game that they've been hyping up is what comes out, is then it'll be great. But and potentially that was what was there, but I don't know. It was too much shooting and not enough RPG.
Well, luckily we've got a lot of time, presumably, before this game actually releases. I think it's due for 4 more delays, so hopefully we'll get to see some of that by then.
2020.
Look, in the meantime, let's play a song. This is Both Ways remix from the Halo Reach soundtrack. We'll be back after this to talk about, funnily enough, Halo. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. All right. Let's keep this EB chat flowing. And a game that we all got to play, Halo 5.
Pachoo, pachoo!
Had some playable multiplayer for one of their new game modes, Warzone, which its main feature is that it is two teams of 12
Ben
fighting against each other with a whole bunch of crazy stuff on the battlefield at the same time. You've got NPC enemies, you've got objectives, all that kind of stuff.
Ben.
Yes, Tom.
You missed the important bit.
What bit did I miss?
This was a
World exclusive.
Oh, God, don't get me started. I forgot about this. Okay, first things first. I got so angry at this, okay?
Ben is furious.
No. We lined up for quite a while. Admittedly, not as long as we should have, because we flashed some media passes. We didn't even. We just went straight to the express line and no one checked our badges. But it was still like a 20-minute wait in that queue. And then you get through into the waiting room where someone just tries to sell you stuff. This guy whose name badge said...
Tompy.
Tomp. I refuse to accept just that. Just calling him out by name, mate. Eh? Tomp. Look, okay, to be fair, this wasn't his fault.
No.
And he was doing a...
He was doing as good a job as dressing up.
He had a terrible script that he had to promote. And he gets you to sit down within the first few minutes. It's, hey, guys, we've got a great game that I bet you guys haven't ever heard of. It's a little indie game called Halo. And it's like, mate, we've heard of it. We just lined up outside for 20 freaking minutes.
The last thing I want to do is sit down for another 20 minutes.
I know. Treat us with a little respect, intelligence, and dignity, please, Tomp.
Oh, Ben. All right? You're so angry.
So angry. And because the very first screen is just a flash up of all of the collector's editions.
Isn't
and he,
it?
Yeah. He said like about six times, buy this. And then, you could buy this. It's like, oh, we could play the bloody game. I was furious. And the big thing that got me, though, is like, so he reeled through all the sales pitch, and like, you get immune to it after a while because you just sort of tune out. And you and I were being smart asses to each other about, yeah, really? Oh, I never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to this one marketing ploy that they've tried with the new Halo game. Like, in the last week, they released a teaser trailer or something that hints that Master Chief dies.
Spoiler alert.
He doesn't, and it's not a spoiler alert because they're marketing, right? There is no way he is dying. They are trying a half-assed. Arkham City. Remember how the fake out of the Joker dying in the trailer for that game?
Mm. Yep.
Buddy, you played that game. You played that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're still with us, buddy.
Party up, mate. Just try to focus. It is like, but all the marketing they have done for this game up until now is about two teams competing against each other. Blah blah blah. And then they suddenly go, but also. Master Chief's dead, or is he? It's like, well, you can't change marketing tech. You've set up this one reality where Master Chief's a fugitive being hunted by another Spartan. Oh, and they're obviously not going to end up working together.
Like, you're so angry.
Because it's like they had a meeting, and the salespeople were like, what's a sexier angle to sell this game? Like, Master Chief's a fugitive getting hunted, or Master Chief dies? Why don't we just do both, but like spaced out differently before, really, just to confuse the hell out of all the people trying to buy these games.
But how are we going to tell the people this? Get Tomp.
Get me Tomp.
Give me the phone.
Get me Tomp. He's the only man who can do this. Yeah, so look, that was...
Okay, now...
It marred an otherwise experience.
How was the game,
can we
guys?
Get... Yeah,
yeah, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the game. I guess we can. Hang on.
BRs suck.
Oh, that was a deep breath. You feel good, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get BRs?
Yeah, battle rifles?
Battle rifles.
They're just terrible now.
What are you talking about? I don't need another DMR. I've got a DMR. Why didn't you give me a BR? That's now a DMR.
So, we're not just yelling letters at you, people. The battle rifle, a staple weapon in the Halo games, which has the triple burst fire, the fire rate.
Iconic.
Which is great for people.
Ben actually recorded the audio for the game. That is, yeah.
Yeah, I just do gun noises for it all. You should hear my sword noise. my Spartan laser is pretty good.
That was
that. That's for the that's for the sponsors of the show. That's for the elite listeners. yeah, you're right, Tom. So they've changed it so it doesn't. It's basically like a single shot weapon. Also, we got to talk about the game. You've chosen the most nitpicky thing, but that is, I think, emblematic of a lot of stuff. There are lots of different tweaks. That the way they all work together, something about it just
doesn't
feel
Halo-y.
Wait, this is not Halo 5 Guardians, by the way. I mean, this is probably the biggest newsworthy thing. This is not Halo 5 Guardians. This is Halo 5 Titanfall. They've got rec cards in there, a rec system, which is the it's almost a carbon copy of
Titanfall. Well, the whole point of, I mean, Warzone basically seems to be like a Titanfall clone. Like, you have, like, having these grunts and sort of, like, lower troops
so well
that fight on your side. And,
and the three objectives. So you've got your old base and the enemy base and then three bases in between.
And then randomly spawning, as you say, like, sort of drone type characters NPCs, within. And which... like there are boss battles, like little tiny little boss battles that keep popping up.
I'd say like the biggest problem for me with this game, it's not like all the features that they've been talking about that are new, the new movement abilities, like the ground pound attacks and mantling and things like that. All the things that people worried were going to make it less Halo are fine.
But they do make it a little less Halo. I felt like the game wasn't very Halo at all.
I don't think they're the things that made it less Halo. Like, that was movement. I feel like... in the first 30 seconds, I was like, oh, this is great. I was trying out all the moves and enjoying it. And then I just felt like the way the game is designed, I never actually got a chance to use them because most of our game was one base of enemies using mid-range weapons to shoot at another base of enemies. Yeah. And there was very little mobility and, like... I mean, to me...
Which is what Halo is sort of, like... Like good, like
yeah, like for. A like traditional, like a good Halo. When Halo is done well, you have these really sort of frenetic, fast-paced battles where you know you run up along on stuff and you jump down behind enemies and they're sticking people with grenades and it's a lot more.
And the map
is
diverse.
And the other thing is like, I think one of the things as well about Halo is that spawn points change, and so. You know, you're getting rushed by the enemy team, and then all of a sudden you start spawning behind them. Unfortunately, with bases in static positions, you know where the enemies are coming from. And you get into these stalemates, it becomes difficult to flank. The map that we played on called Escape Arc was just felt very linear. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, and I could have explored a bit more, but I wasn't quite sure what was going on, and it just felt like a line, you know, ABC base and then enemy base.
And also, like, for something called Warzone, I mean, the coolest thing about Titanfall was you'd spawn in with an objective and then forget about that objective immediately because there's so much happening. Yeah. You'd be like... okay, well, maybe I'll go help them with that objective, and then a Titan runs past, and you jump on its back, and then you see an enemy, and you follow them, and there's kind of and it's constant stuff that you you're following threads. Whereas in this, there was very much actually happening. Like, I ended up just being caught in this constant fight with the other player enemies, because I didn't really see many AIs, and there wasn't much else happening.
It is hard for us to I mean, this is the first time we've touched it. This is the first time I feel like.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard for us.
And
to
I played a different game from you guys, and like my team just got steamrolled.
Yeah,
we played about 10 minutes and barely got out of the base.
But that's not why we're being so hard on it.
No.
I realize that it's like that might be what it sounds like, but it's
yeah. You know, I mean, essentially, I think this game mode is a lot bigger than they can show off at an expo, and so it really does.
I'm hoping so. Because I mean,
I'm still really excited for it.
And Halo deserves I'd like to see them evolve in a positive way.
Yeah,
it's like 343 know what they're doing. Like they know what they're doing. But it was just.
You know, I would have said that before Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, I mean, they need a win, is what they need. That's they need so a win. But, you know, I suppose the thing I'm more excited about for Guardians is the campaign, too. Like, I want to see what that co-op does, and I probably would have rather played that at EB Expo than...
Oh, they would never have shown that.
Nah.
Well, I mean, they could show the demo. Like, they've got the demos that are already out there. They could have shown, like, a playable version of that walkthrough.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, let's go to some messages, and then we'll wrap up. Well, that brings us to the end of another show.
Aww.
Oh, I know, it's sad.
We had so much fun.
As always, people can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, BigHeadMode2RRR, and our website, BigHeadMode.com.au. Keep your eyes glued to the Facebook page, because we have got a bunch of PAX panels coming up. So if you are going to be down at PAX Oz down in Melbourne, keep an eye out. We're going to have a bonus stage show on the Friday. We've got we're doing a trivia panel with... Geek Bomb, and we've got a fun little thing called Truly Awful Games where we're going to play some terrible, terrible games as voted on by you. So if you have any recommendations, please send them to us. And the ones with the most votes, we'll play them with a bunch of comedians and just make fun of the terrible games. But look, that's all in the next few weeks. Until then, keep on gaming, have some good times, a few laughs, a few mates. We're going to play you out now with a track called A Phantom Pain, from the game of the same name, Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain, by Ludwig Forssell. Tom, thanks for coming on. Bardia, thanks for coming on. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.